The question I would like to think about with you this Epiphany Sunday is this. Are you following that star to Bethlehem? And if you are you following it for the right reasons? I wonder, how many of you curtailed your travel this past year? Since the pandemic began, getting on a plane has become a step of faith that most of us are still unwilling to take. Suddenly, one of the great freedoms we've taken for granted has been threatened. Our perspective on the hazards of travel has escalated from "I hope they don't lose my luggage" to "I hope I don't lose my life." Travel's always been hard and even hazardous. It's only really been in the last century or so that modes of transportation like cars and trains and planes have made traveling more about reaching a destination than surviving the trip. Our mobile lifestyle has made it possible for us to think only about the end point of our journeys, barely noticing the actual courses we're taking to get there. In the first century, journeys were measured in weeks and months or years, not hours or days. The wise men Matthew tells of in his gospel were long-distance marathon travelers. From the time they observed the auspicious, awe-inspiring new star in the heavens until the time they reached King Herod's court, they may have been on the road for months. They were learned in astrology, but lacking in historical theology. These Persian priests had been observing, following, questioning this star's presence and significance. But they didn't really know where they were headed. It took an influx of new information, of fresh insight to provide them with the scriptural details they needed to finally fix for themselves a general destination. And even then, all they had was the name of a town and a moving star. No more specific details were available. And yet off they went, encouraged and even eager after engaging Herod and his experts in a mutually insightful dialogue. What different paths emerged, though, from that conversation? The wise men were able to take the scriptural pronouncements of Micah and Samuel and find directions to a holy destination. They faithfully followed their course and obediently bowed and paid homage to the child that they finally found in his mother's arms. Their long-observed star became an active participant in the final stage of their journey, moving steadily across the sky to take them to the precise place where Jesus lay. Herod's journey was down a darker and ultimately self-destructive path. He indirectly journeyed with the wise men, waiting anxiously for them to send him the location of this newly arrived king of the Jews. But Herod would not budge from his palace in Jerusalem, his seat of authority and power. He didn't make that journey with the Magi. So when the wise men warned of Herod's destructive intentions, headed home by a different path, taking their knowledge of Jesus' identity with them, Herod took another journey, this one into madness of mayhem and murder. Unwilling to follow the star and pay homage to God's chosen one, Herod ordered the murder of the innocents and threw himself down the path of self-destruction and insanity. Epiphany is the annual event that allows us all to recheck our spiritual compasses, taking a moment to examine exactly what course our life is on and who or what we are following. When philosopher Dallas Willard's students at the University of Southern California find out that he is a practicing Christian, they always ask him, why? Willard believes that being a Christian is defined as being a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. So when his students ask why, he asks them back, who better to follow? You got somebody better in mind? Do you think Plato would be a better choice? Or what about Socrates or Nietzsche or Aristotle? Have you ever read what he said about slavery and female subservience? Cicero, for whom slavery wasn't even an ethical issue. Do you have a better star to hitch your life's wagon to? See, everyone in life has to follow someone. We all hitch our wagon to a star of some sort. Epiphany Sundays point to Jesus and says, follow that star. But there are a lot of reasons why people follow a star. Some do it to find wealth, to reach for the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Herod sought out the star in order to try and preserve his own power. For Christians, we follow Jesus' star because Jesus leads us to a deeper relationship with our God. The opposite of life is not necessarily death. It's also an unlived life. Jesus calls us to a lived life, a full life. I mean, think for a minute just of what happens when a character in a movie jumps into the back of a waiting cab and yells at the driver, follow that car. You're now on a journey, you don't know where it will take you. You'll go on side roads and alleyways that you never expected and didn't even know existed. That's what happens when you follow Jesus' star. Our shop till you drop, buy till you bust culture says Christmastide is about presents, things. But the angel announced a star that signaled presence, God's presence more than material. For the wise men who began following this star, it was the beginning of a long, life-altering, all-consuming journey. That the alluring star the wise men identified and hitched their future to kept on moving as it guided them on their way. It demonstrates the fluidity and the flexibility that every traveler must embrace. Just think about it from every night's camp and from every town and village along the way. The star's location would look different. But because it was moving to a specific destination, a point of fulfillment, any traveler starting from anywhere in the region could have arrived at that small house in Nazareth or Bethlehem. We all start at different places when we decide to follow that star. Some of us start out in mansions and others begin in public housing. Some of us start out in the warm arms of a loving family. Others begin in a barren childhood of absentee parents and outright rejection or abuse. Some of us start with a heritage of faith and a solid church family. Others begin without any spiritual direction whatsoever. Some of us start early in life, seeking faith and fulfillment in childhood. Others begin late in life, looking for spiritual solace only when wrinkles and gray hair have contoured and colored our perspective. But no matter where your journey begins, if we faithfully follow that star, our destination is determined. We will come into the light. We will come to the baby lying in his mother's arms, to the rabbi preaching and teaching and healing all over the countryside, to the Son of God hanging on a cross, to the risen Savior standing by our side and calling us into light. It's good perspective as we begin another new year, a year filled with hope and new directions as we follow the star. I've never been very good at making New Year's resolutions or even keeping the ones I do make. But on the first Sunday of the year, listen with me to a piece I found with new direction as together we follow the star. Today when I awoke, I suddenly realized that this is the best year of my life ever. There were times when I wondered if I would even make it to today. But I did. And because I did, I'm going to celebrate. In 2021, I'm going to celebrate what an unbelievable life I've had so far. The accomplishments, the many blessings, and yes, even the hardships. Because they've served to make me stronger. I will go through 2021 with my head held high and a happy heart. I'll marvel at God's seemingly simple gifts. The morning dew, the sun, the clouds, the trees, the flowers, the birds. In 2021, none of these miraculous creations will escape my notice. In 2021, I will share my excitement for life with other people. I'll make someone smile. I'll go out of my way to perform an unexpected act of kindness for someone I don't even know. This year, I'll give a sincere compliment to someone who seems down in the dumps. I'll tell a child how special he is. And I'll tell someone I love just how deeply I care for them and how much they mean to me. This is the year I quit worrying about what I don't have and start being grateful for all the wonderful things I've already been blessed with. I'll remember that to worry is just a waste of time. Because my faith in God and God's plan ensures everything is going in the right direction. Tonight, before I go to bed, I'll go outside and I'll raise my eyes to the heavens. And I'll stand in awe at the beauty of the stars and the moon. And I will praise God for these magnificent treasures. As the day ends and I lay my head down on my pillow, I will thank the Almighty for the best year of my life, which lies ahead. And I will sleep the sleep of a contented child, excited with the expectation, because I know this year is going to be the best year ever as I faithfully follow that star. Amen.